Kevin, I have to tell you, I wasn't recording any of that.
You weren't recording any of that?
None of it.
The whole 8 minutes of the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah.
You weren't recording
it. And it was really good.
Owen Dunn! Oh!
Agents! No? See, Owen Dunn sounds better than agents. No one says that.
All right, let's start again then.
Okay.
All right, now let's do what we always do. Let's pretend we're just starting a conversation.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, Kevin.
My name is Vink.
Dang it. So, Vink.
Yeah?
We released a new video last week.
Oh, really? It's about time.
Yeah. According to some people, it's been 2 years, which isn't quite
accurate. Yeah, a lot of internet commenters have... that we never should have released them numbered.
Yeah, yeah. In hindsight, that was kind of a bad thing, but there's sort of the story thing we're doing with the numbered ones, so we're kind
it's
of
true.
Stick
it's
with
true.
It for now, but like... Going forward, we're not going to have that. Well, anyway, so it was a lot of work. And,
yeah.
You know, we still have this weekly schedule, and we still have a lot of work ahead of us, but I needed to take a little vacation.
Well, I mean, you should. You should. I mean, we've got more videos coming up, but most of those are mostly in the can right now, so.
Yeah, which is nice. So, yeah, the one for this week, well, you already will have seen it by the time this comes out, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I decided I needed to take a little trip up north, especially because southern Wisconsin, I don't know if anyone's been following the news, is part of a severe drought zone right now. So I went to northern Wisconsin to escape it.
You escaped by going from the southern part of the
yes.
state you live in to the northern
yes,
part of the state.
Which is not in a drought right now. It was quite nice. You know, it's a little cabin by the lake. It's an annual trip. No internet access. My one device that I did bring was my DS, my DS Fat to be precise, because I lost my original, or my DS Lite, which I got actually when I visited you back in 2006. Lost that.
That's
and all
when
my
you
games.
Lost it.
Well, I didn't lose it in 2006. I lost it like 3 years ago. That and all my favorite games, including the Owen Dunn and Elite Beat Agents games. Very, very sad. But the good news is that back in 4 months ago, in when I went to Midwest Gaming Classic, I picked up a copy for $10 of Elite Beat Agents for $10. Went home immediately, put it in my DS Fat, and didn't play it for 4 months.
Wow, that's so close, but yet so far away.
Yeah, well, you know, I've said before on the show that my big problem playing handhelds is that I don't really travel anywhere, that I don't drive, so I don't really have a lot of downtime to pull one open and just play. Same goes with my iPhone gaming, too. But, you know, since it was a big long trip up north, I had some chance to do it there, and then also at the cabin itself every once in a while. And wow, Nostalgia City! Like, I had not played this game in at least as long as I hadn't had that DS. So maybe 4 years or longer. And it just brought back all these memories. Like back in 2006, for those who've been watching the show since the beginning.
Before the beginning, actually.
Yeah, before the beginning, technically. It's been retroactively turned into a Famicom Dojo special, the first one. Phil Bond and I did some interviews with people who are waiting for the Wii to launch in November 2006, and we were there ourselves in our own tent, and I was playing Elite Beat Agents and or Owen Dunn a whole bunch that evening. But also we did like a video about it when it was just a preview. You can get a download kiosk and went over what Owen Dunn was and all that. I'll link that in the show notes. It was really fun, but like it brought back all those memories, and it's like, man, those were some fun times. And this is a really, really fun game. Like just ridiculous scenery, and it made me cry.
It made you cry?
It made me. There's always these stories, and there's this one about this little girl and her mom, and like her dad promises he'll be home for Christmas, but of course something terrible happens and he doesn't. But she like doesn't want to lose faith that, you know, oh, daddy promised. So she's like helping her and her mom work through their grief, and It's to the tune of the Chicago song, "You're the Meaning in My Life." I just, I couldn't play through the tears. It's like, you know, they couldn't just make the pattern hard. They had to actually make me cry to, so I couldn't see the pattern.
I'm going to stop you there for a second. Yeah, yeah. Because for those unfamiliar with the with the series of Owen Don and Elite Beat Agents, that's not going to make any sense. Basically, yeah. What Elite Beat Agents and Owen Don are rhythm games, like kind of music games. You know, hit the kind of like a, I don't know, what would you compare it to?
Samba, Owen Don. Yeah, samba, parappa, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. But hitting things at the right time, and basically the characters you play are a team of male cheerleaders in the Owen Don one, and a nondescript group of special agents in the other one.
Crazy government spies, if you ask me, because they're always watching, like from these kiosks and stuff. And oh, they pull your heartstrings, especially in this one, because normally it's just like General Khan hanging out in his like surveillance booth, and then when someone's asking for help, he just like whips around and points his finger, and it's like, "Agents are go!" And like for this song, he just sits there and watches the screen as it fades to black, and I'm just like, "Ah, you're just, what are you doing to me?"
Such, I think, a good people game. Have to play this game.
yeah.
But basically, yeah, these games. There were two games in Japan that came out. Of the Owen Don series, and both of them, yeah, just have these incredible scenes of peril going on, which call for the necessity for cheerleaders to come and cheer them on.
Yeah,
like, I mean, these type of cheerleaders are like at sporting events in Japan, but obviously it didn't make any sense to the American audience, so they released one of these games, and they basically remade it from the ground up. Same play mechanics, but different songs, different scenarios, and the male cheerleaders wouldn't have gone over so well. So yeah, they changed them into special agents.
Yeah, so it, yeah, I guess it didn't do so well in the States, but I loved it because it was, you know, another Owen Don game I could play. This is before 2 came out, you know, so it was the second one in the series.
It did really bad.
That's so sad.
Well, I don't know. I think maybe it was the marketing or something, but like the first two were not huge hits, but, you know, good enough to necessitate sequels in Japan. And it was, now, I don't have any source to back this up.
Uh-oh, but Fink was wrong.
I don't know if Fink was wrong on this one, but the internet could very well be wrong. But, like, it was reported in a number of sites that it was the most, that it set a record for the most imported game.
Wow. Yeah, I believe that, because I don't import a lot of games. And even at the time when it was, like, $50, $60 new, like, I imported it. Actually, I bought my copy in Japan that same year. That same year, I got the light, and I got one for Phil Bond as well.
but people were importing the game like crazy because it's a really, really good game, and it's very easy to play without speaking Japanese.
Yes.
And it's for a system that's totally region free, like Nintendo used to be.
Yeah, well, let's not get into that.
Well, anyway, sorry, that's getting off track. But so Nintendo saw this and went, "Oh, we should actually release one here. Then we get, you know, sales for Nintendo of America." So they contracted Inis. I don't know how to pronounce the company.
See, our friend who works there now would be able to tell us. We should just get a hold of him. Working on nondescript.
He's a very secretive guy.
He is. He looks like a piece of naan.
Yeah. he joined that. I believe he joined that company because of like the Owen Don series and Guitar-O Man, which they also made. They made the Guitar-O Man series, and unfortunately, they've been they've been relegated to making games like Black Eyed Peas Experience.
Are we supposed? Is that out now?
What?
Is that? Are we,
yeah, it's out.
Okay, because
it came out November 8th.
Did it? Okay, yeah, because when we were talking to him about it during Tokyo Game Show, we weren't supposed to let anyone know that we knew about it.
I think it might have even been out then, but maybe he just didn't want anyone to let us know that we knew about it. but anyway, so they're doing stuff like that in like mobile phone games now. So
it's really
sad because Elite Beat Agents, Nintendo shipped a lot of it. They had really high expectations for it, and it just crashed and burned.
Well, but
good news for all of you. if you do find a copy, it's cheap.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Can get it real cheap. Like, I don't know. What'd you pay for yours?
I paid $10 at a trade show, so it's probably less than that.
Yeah. So, but I mean, get it. It's worth. I'd personally recommend, I don't the two Japanese ones before that, but I mean, I was familiar with a lot of the Japanese music in those.
Yeah, so. I'd play Owen Don first because you lose a lot of the appeal from them, you know, Americanizing it to fit cultural expectations, and it might be fun, but it doesn't make any sense. And I guess Owen Don doesn't make any sense in the fact that it makes sense to somebody, but probably just not you and me.
But like, I mean, they're all good.
They're wonderful. I mean, there's a lot of good J-pop in the Owen Don series.
Me personally, I would have loved just a subtitled version of Owen Don.
Because there's these comics that go on before and during the songs that they're all manga style.
But there's no way they would have ever done that.
Yeah.
Because it would have sold tens and tens of copies, and all of them to me.
Well, you know what? There's that downloadable store. They could always translate it. You're right. They probably still wouldn't go through the effort.
Nah, series is pretty much done. But anyway.
Well, it's one of my touchstones. Like, I was able to come back years later and play it. And I wonder if there are other games people might play, in a similar vein.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
So, a type of game that, like, even though you've got... How many games are on your stack of shame right now?
I still haven't finished Arkham City. Okay.
The Wii U version. It's got
armor. I already have it. Why would I buy it again? No, it's all right.
It's got armor or something.
Yeah, I still haven't finished Metroid... Other M. I haven't finished Metroid Prime 2 or 3. Actually, that's one of the comments that Zach Shipley made on a couple of shows ago. Was it video game videos? That was last week. No, it was 2 weeks ago. He watched all the cutscenes for Metroid Prime 2 online, so he wouldn't have to play it. And I'm at the point now where I probably should just do that, because I'm never going to play 3 at this rate. I own it. I own 3. I haven't played it.
But I mean, that's the thing. I have a ton of unopened games right now, but like, I will sit down and I will go and I will play a game that I've already beat.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just that they're so good, right?
I went back to Phoenix Wright because now enough years have passed that I don't remember all the puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. It's nostalgic, but I don't know. It's just a good game and it makes me feel good. It's my soul food.
Yeah. Oh. All right. I like that.
It's a video. You want to go to the fancy restaurants and you want to try the new fusion restaurants, you know. But sometimes you just want to go back and like have the hamburger, you know, that's comfortable. Like, for example, the soul food here in Japan, in this city at least, is our karage, our fried chicken. These little boneless fried chicken that are kind of soy sauce flavored.
Oh, that sounds really
good. And it's great. Oh, it's real good. And what's crazy is like we have like 30 fried chicken restaurants in my town that's not that large. Whatever. And I'm like, how can these stores possibly stay in business? But like, it's because it's this town's soul food. In other places it's their ramen. Hakata's, it's ramen. That's their soul food, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
A special kind of ramen made with like a pork soup. Oh, it's so good.
So good.
But I don't know. I guess Wisconsin is cheese and brats.
Oh, pretty much. There is this place in Madison called Glass Nickel, and they have a pizza called the Tailgater that has like a sauerkraut sauce, and they put brats on it and cheese, and it's like a brat in pizza form, and they even put pickles on the side. It's delicious. Like, I have a brat, I think of summer, or it's not Summerfest. I have a brat, and I think of Bratfest, which they have in town here every year. I'm going to order one of these tomorrow now. Delicious.
Okay, we're losing the audience now.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, yeah.
To Wisconsin.
Oh, man, too German. Yeah. And so like, what other games are there that I've played? I'm trying to think. Hard to play Samba nowadays, but it's another one of those in the rhythm game category. I've been playing Zelda 2 again. Also, I have the Famicom Mini version that I bought years ago.
That's a great version. Yeah, it's based off the disk system version, right?
Yeah, it has like the load screens in there and everything. They're really short, but like it has all the, like the Mimic sound effects and stuff, and all the text in Japanese too. So you have to actually read the katakana. But so I'm rather near the end of that, and it's that game is a guilty pleasure for me. And I was just having a lot of fun with it, even though it's really ridiculously hard. And I wanted to throw the DS. Oh yeah, I did drop it. Did I mention that? I dropped the DS.
No, you didn't.
My DS fat. Yeah. So like the hinge cracked, and that wasn't fun. It still worked, but then I thought that was the end of it. But no, like the entire housing around the hinge also cracked, and it's on its last legs. Like, I should get a new DS. Actually, I should probably just get a 3DS, shouldn't I?
Yeah, but which one should you get? The large size one just came out yesterday here in Japan.
It's either coming out soon or it's also out and already in the States.
So I don't know. People say it looks really, really good, and if you're planning to play any old DS games, it can full screen them, whereas the 3DS puts the black borders and stuff. So
it'll be hard to decide. Well, it's probably a better investment than paying maybe half the price for a new DS, because I never bought a DSi. I never got the 3DS.
You should buy the full screen one.
All right, well,
two reasons. Number one is you already mentioned you almost never play games on the go.
Okay,
so you might as well have one with a larger screen, because you're probably going to mostly play it at home.
All right.
And two, in case we ever need to film any 3DS stuff for the show, I already have the smaller size.
That's not a bad idea, actually. All right, I could probably get behind that, although it is still $200. Well, whatever. No price is too much for good gaming, I guess. But you know what else I can do with that 3DS?
What else can you do with that 3DS?
I can get the 3D version of Excitebike.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that one of your soul food games?
I don't know. Like, when I was a kid, it was. And I would play it over and over again, making my own tracks. Like, I can still remember, like, what letter is associated with what type of jump.
What was the super jump? The one that, like, it was a small... it was not that big, but it made you go really, really high. Was it T?
I don't know. Like, I think A was, the big pyramid.
Yep.
And
I made a track with all just that super jump once.
That's hilarious. Oh yeah, the one that ends with like it's like a ramp and then it's just a straight up. Yeah, darn. Yeah, I can't remember what that. I like the R's and the S's too. Like those are the big ones. I think the big ridiculous.
Man, we're losing the audience again. Okay, Excitebike was a game that came out that was, I believe, a launch title in America and a very early title in Japan, and it was one of the two listed in the programmable series.
Yeah, we mentioned this in an earlier show, yeah.
Yep, remember the early games? Yeah, Action Series, Adventure Series. The programmable series was that and Wrecking Crew. This time. And what's crazy is, you could make your own tracks, and it didn't have really very good menus. You just had a set of letters on the bottom, and you'd have to kind of do trial and error to figure out what was what. But you could make your own tracks, and then it would give you the option to save them. But of course, you couldn't because the cassette player add-on was never released in America.
Yep,
because it was just a total straight port. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
We should open up an Excitebike and see if it's the smaller cart size too.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I bet the launch ones were
probably.
Because, if you want to know more about the cartridges and pins that I'm referring to right now, we'll link that video as well.
Yes.
Some of the early Nintendo Entertainment System games were simply Japanese Famicom games with a converter built right into the cartridge. And if you pull that off, you can put them right into a Famicom and play them.
Yep.
I saw the Excitebike 3DS one.
I've played it. Phil has a copy of it. It's
really cool because it's totally retro, but it's got kind of the 3D motion. Is it programmable?
Probably not. I don't know, actually. No, probably not. Someone out there knows, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I'll just ask Phil. You know, by the time this episode comes out, I'll probably know the answer to that.
Failed opportunity if it's not.
Right, totally.
Like the Virtual Console one, that should be programmable.
Right. All right. Oh, man. It probably isn't.
Oh, I bet it is, but I bet it's the same thing that you can't actually save it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it's programmable, but...
Is there a Virtual Console version?
Is there what?
Is there a Virtual Console version?
I'm not sure. Maybe Nintendo decided to not get all the complaints that they'd get to their service center, you know? But Excitebike's too famous of a series. But anyway. All right. Let's see. A game that I go back to.
Yeah, your turn.
Metal Slug 4.
Oh, okay. And not just because you want to segue into our most recent episode, I hope.
No. Well, it's the only Metal Slug cartridge I ever bought.
Okay.
Because the original game, I mean, even when I bought it before and still now, is over $1,000.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, over $1,000. Wow, that's... for Metal Slug, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I'd played Metal Slug in the arcades and stuff because it was released in 97, I believe. And, you know, at that time, you know, a lot of, like, the local Pizza Hut in my town and the arcades, because there were still some arcades back then, you know, had it.
What is this? But
they released very, very few copies to the home console because that was also the year SNK pulled the plug on the AES system.
Yeah.
So they released a limited run of it, and it sold out, and it did really, really well in the arcades. And then SNK, I don't know, Metal Slug might have been one of the reasons why SNK continued to make games, you know, because they were going to move entirely over to the Hyper Neo Geo 64 hardware.
The what?
Oh, man. Maybe I should save that for a video.
Yeah.
SNK was going to retire their MVS hardware to release this new hardware that was a 64-bit 3D, stuff like that. And they released 8 games for it.
What?
Are you hearing this for the first time?
I am.
Fatal Fury, Wild Ambition?
No.
No? There are 2 Samurai Showdown games for it.
Mm.
Beast Busters? Turned into kind of a third-person shooter. You've played Beastbusters, right?
I have no idea what that is.
You know, the original. It's a... Oh, gosh. Well, it looks like... it looks like we have a lot to talk about.
I guess so.
Maybe we should do a part 2 of that Neo Geo special like we did for PC Engine. And what other shows got a part 2?
Did the PC Engine get the part 2? I don't think it did.
It did, remember? Because the part 2 just brought up, like, the power, not the adapters.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, someone asked about that because they asked if we're going to cover things like the Neo Geo CD and thought that we might do it when we talked about other CD systems, and that seems like a pretty fair assumption.
Well, like, this script that I gave you for this episode was written during... It was before we even finished Series 1, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
And it's a lot longer. Like, there was stuff about the Neo Geo Pocket, stuff about Neo Geo CD. Really about the Hyper 64.
Which is why I didn't hear of it, because that, you know, most of what I know about the Neo Geo came from that script. But can you imagine it being longer than the 14 minutes it already is? Woo! So, yeah, I better break that up.
I know. Some people wouldn't have minded, but... You know, there's a lot more to talk about. We cut a good third of that script, and there's more to write about now, you know, so...
Right, right. In 3 years hence, yeah.
I don't know. We've got a lot of other stuff we got to get done before that, though. That episode required a lot of filming. And let us know what you think about that one, too. I mean...
Well, we've had some good feedback so far. And almost all of it positive, except for that one guy who couldn't watch after 5 minutes. That one guy. You know who you are.
It happens, you know? I mean,
I was actually expecting more negative response, to be honest, because right it was now, so it, different.
It sits at 63 likes and one dislike. Now everyone listening to this podcast like,
dislike. Actually, if they're going to listen to this podcast, they probably won't dislike it. I'm just going to guess right now.
But, I mean, you know, it was not everyone's cup of tea. Like, it was overly dramatic, and I hope that it came across that we weren't trying to be serious, but well, like some people, I don't know.
I would have thought that coming out with, like, a root beer float or a money hat would indicate.
Oh, yeah. By the way, that was a root beer float. That was one of the questions we got was, yes. What were you holding?
Yes. I'll just answer the question by saying listen to the podcast.
good.
It was the cup I was holding, too, was from my wife's bachelorette party, which said one final fling before the ring. So that's a bit of trivia, too. And we tossed that cup so many times.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to be like, oh, you were there. Oh, you weren't there. It was me and Phil that were filming that. And yeah. We had to figure out, like, when to throw it. And like what beat, if I was going to be moving or not, and like, you know, should I be like flinging the wrist or like a grand gesture? Ridiculous. This is the kind of thing that we do behind the scenes. And if you're lucky, maybe we have some of those bloopers saved for an eventual reel of some sort that you do on home releases.
Anyway. I got something caught in your throat there.
Yeah, just a little bit of, had some popcorn earlier, got holes in my teeth. TMI.
I got something caught in my throat too. Here, hold on. Let me try to get it out. Kickstarter.
What? I didn't hear anything.
Nothing.
I didn't hear that. So, a lot of great feedback. Again, we record this before like the next episodes come out, so we don't even know what the reaction's been to the next thing we're going to put up, or that we have put up already, retroactively, from the future. That's confusing,
we have
right?
To start recording these live.
Yeah, pretty much like as they come out.
We should do another Justin TV one though. We do record it live though. That'd be fun.
That's a really good idea, actually. Maybe we can have people listen in. Does that work? Does it work that way? I think it might work that way. I don't know. Yeah, because they can chat with us, and we can like respond to people as they talk to us on the chat. That's a really good idea. We should do that.
Do a live show. We'll have to actually plan out when we're going to do it more than like 20 minutes.
Yeah, we'll have to announce it ahead of time. But this, it does occur to me also that this the day that this podcast comes out will also be the first Friday that we have a new episode of Famicom Dojo, the TV on WYOU, which, you know, it won't be new to anyone who's seen the show before, but will be new to WYOU viewers. So that'll be cool. Which you can also watch on WYOU.org.
Plug.
Right. Well, maybe. That might be a problem, but I think it's still worth investing in. We should find out if we have any viewers on WYOU. We should find a way to... More on that later.
Yeah, let's think about that. Yeah. So anyway... there we go with that. So Metal Slug 4 for me is that game.
Wow.
I told you I'd be back.
Bring it all around.
Because I'd never been able to buy one on cartridge before.
Yeah.
I think I had a Metal Slug port. I had Metal Slug X for PlayStation.
Okay.
Which was a okay port. Like, it had a lot of slowdown because, like, despite the PlayStation being a much newer system than the Neo Geo, it still kind of struggled with it. That's why the ports of a lot of the fighters are really, really, you know, a lot of frames of animation cut, stuff like that. Mm. It really wasn't until the Dreamcast that a real Neo Geo port was possible.
Okay, right, I suppose.
Although there were some good ones on the Saturn, but they used that memory expansion cartridge. Ooh, that's another thing to talk about.
Oh, goodness. We'll talk about the Saturn first.
Yeah. Stay tuned. But Metal Slug 4 came out, and I'd missed Metal Slug 3. Like, I was getting into Neo Geo around the time Metal Slug 3 came out. Like, that's when I had my AES system.
Sure.
And Metal Slug 3 sold out real quick. And it's usually regarded as the best of the Metal Slug series, Metal Slug 3.
It's also the last one you can get on Virtual Console, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so.
The most recent one. I know I looked.
But, like, Metal Slug 4 came out post-SNK's bankruptcy.
Which is probably why...
So it was co-produced by, like, Mega and... the company Mega and... Was it Breezesoft? No, Breezesoft was King of Fighters 2001. Well, anyway. So it's kind of different from the other Metal Slugs. And they really were kind of going a sci-fi way with, like, 2 and X and 3. They were really, going kind of sci-fi-y. And this one kind of was a return to form of making it, about military and crazy vehicles and stuff. And it's a good game. It's sometimes regarded as the weakest entry of the Metal Slug series.
Mm.
And it might be. It might be. I thought, 5's really good. 6, for me, 6 is a little kind of different, but the graphics are nice. 7 was a DS only, the first one that didn't get an arcade port.
Okay.
As you can see in our other SNK video. but like it's the only one I owned, and I paid a lot of money for it. Like, I don't remember exactly. It was either $200 or $250.
Wow. Yeah, this is why I'm glad I found out about this when I did, because there's no way I would have paid that much money for games.
Well, like, it's not just a game. It's also a collector's thing. Like, there's 500 copies of the English version of Metal Slug 4, and that's it.
Oh.
There's 500. There's more of the Japanese version.
Too exclusive to live.
And there's tons and tons and tons of MVS copies. Because, that was always the bread and butter of SNK.
Oh, man. Since we put up that video, I searched for other Neo Geo videos, and, like, 2 Keith Apicary videos came up. One about a music video, and, like, one he did, like, 2010, maybe. And there's very obviously an MVS converter on the Neo Geo he's playing. It's not a dress, but I knew what it was immediately. Looking at it, and then that's something that one of our commenters said in the show notes for the video was that it's actually cheaper to get MVS carts and just check down a converter than it is to actually get the AES carts.
Oh, much cheaper. The converter is about $200, and then, for example, the original Metal Slug, I told you, $1,000, maybe $2,000, depending on quality. MVS version, about $30.
So like, obviously there's like some kind of one-to-one pin conversion you can do for it to work, which doesn't, it's not too surprising given like because we didn't talk about the hardware configurations that much and the cross-compatibility, but basically like the MVS just had more cartridge slots that you could plug in, I guess, at once or something.
Like, yeah, but like it's definitely the most arcade to home one ever. They've done things that are similar, like the Triforce arcade board is kind of based on GameCube architecture, and the Naomi board, like the Dreamcast, is kind of a lower memory variant of the Naomi board, and that's, but like you can't take like a Naomi GD-ROM and put it in a Dreamcast and have it work,
right?
But you can take, with minor modification, you can take Neo Geo MVS stuff and have it work on AES. So,
yep.
But, so I had this game. I paid a ton of money for it, and it was my Metal Slug.
I see.
So I know it so well because I wanted to get my money's worth out of it.
Right.
So I played it constantly. I can probably beat the first level with my eyes closed now.
That's unlikely, but...
Yeah, it's all muscle memory now. But, like,
right.
All Metal Slugs are great. But that's the game I come back to. Because, like, I own the Anthology now, when it came out on Wii, very cheap. It was, like, $50 for 6 Metal Slug games. But, nice. Like, I keep going back to 4, even though it's maybe not the best of the series, just because it has the nostalgia for me. Oh man, I'm totally out of collecting games right now, but I sold off a ton of my collection, but I still kept some of my really rare Neo Geo stuff. The Metal Slug 4, Metro Melee, stuff like that.
Which you can see in our video. Very brief, 5-second clips?
Yeah. Very, very briefly. But yeah, unlike a lot of other retro shows you're going to see out there, these clips are obtained by someone who actually owns the game, not just...
It's true.
Yeah. And that's why very kind of strange choices of, why did you choose Metal Slug 4?
These are the games that we played. Yeah, we don't tend to talk about the ones we don't play. We went through huge pains to get actual copies of the Famicom 3D system games, thanks to AtariUSA.com.
Yeah.
Et cetera. So yeah, we do what we can to service the family. Well, that sounds really bad. We do what we can to be as authentic as possible.
but yeah, I mean, so not that there's anything wrong. I mean, the rest of those clips came from Virtual Console versions of them.
Yeah, the ones that we didn't have actual physical copies of. So someone still got paid.
Yeah. I wonder who does get money from SNK games anymore.
Yeah, right? Like, who's the legal entity that... Yeah, it's weird.
Well, I mean, SNK's still around, and, like, they reformed with Playmore, and it's a lot of the same people, actually.
Oh, that's good.
They fired all these people, and they formed another company, and then SNK started again, and they rehired as many as they could. They bought out the other companies that they formed, so...
Oh,
like,
nice.
RizaSoft and... I don't know if Noise Factory is part of SNK or not anymore, but anyway. So what about you? Give me another Soul game. What do you play? What do you go back to?
Man. Does the Dragon Age series count? I don't know. I played it a lot.
Yes, I mean, it's pretty new. I mean, how many times have you played through it?
I've done every origin by this point. Like, I haven't played all the way through with every origin. There's six of them, not counting genders. So I've done every major origin, and I've played through two of them entirely, and I'm working on a third that I've sort of let go through. I'm like playing through two now with that second one. A second completed save. Like, I played the BioWare games a lot. I played Mass Effect 1 four or five times. And Mass Effect 2 twice. I'm on my second playthrough with Mass Effect 3. Like, I just go through those and play them. But I don't do it just casually, right? Like, I have to play a game like Peggle, maybe, more like. But I don't even come back to that one very often. So it might not be a good example, but there were just many, many a night... the year that Dragon Age came out, where I just have a nice Friday night and crack open a beer or liquor of my choice and just have a good old time with the dwarves or something. Wow, that sounds even worse. Let's just erase this whole segment. Let's just start over. Oh goodness. I played Rock Band a lot.
Okay.
Guitar Hero and Rock Band for the many, many years that they were releasing annual versions, and then the last time was last year when Rock Band 3 came out. Or was it the year before? See, I don't even know anymore. Whenever Rock Band 3 came out, and I played that for a good few months afterward, then that was pretty much it for me in Rock Band, mostly because I now have a little one who sleeps during Rock Band hours.
Yeah. See, for my wife, her soul food game is definitely Bejeweled.
My wife loves Dr. Mario and Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh yeah. My wife's into Dr. Mario too. We really should have a wife versus wife battle.
Oh no.
But I don't know if she's been playing it recently though, but she can kick my butt.
Right, yeah, I have no doubt that I would lose heartily.
Let's see. Soul food game.
Maybe we should just ask the listeners.
I think so too. Because I think just the very fact that they are so personal.
Yeah.
We should. I want to hear the stories, because a lot of the time the games that they are aren't even the best games. They're just, although, come on, Owen Don's a good
game. Owen Don's the best game.
But yeah, I want to hear.
Yeah, because yeah, there's lots of games that we just, you know, either because it was like one of the few that we had to play, or just you're addicted for some strange reason. And I go through those phases too, where I'm just addicted and I can't stop playing. Like Civ, it's hardly not a soul. It's like a soul sucking game. It's a succubus game. It's what Civ is. I can't play that, or it will destroy me.
Game dev story for me.
Game dev. Oh man, yeah.
Because I always say, why did I like this game so much? You know, I'll go in and I'll be like, this isn't so. Well, I'll just do one more game. And then it's like 7 hours later, and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, we covered this on the show, Play to Death, I think. Yep. You know, ones that just suck you in. So I was like, all right, just one more, and it's never just one more. Oh my gosh. All right, linking that in the show notes too.
Mega Man 3.
Back in the day, I should, see, now you're getting me to play it. Now that you've mentioned it, I'm going to play it and I'm going to love it. And I still haven't finished 9 yet. I tried playing it again the other day, and my Wii's graphical glitch problems prevent me from getting very far. Not because it's unplayable, it's just distracting.
So, yeah, but I mean, that's one. You know, someone said in one of our comments that all of the Mega Man games with the same, like, not algorithm, same program code, like for where the jumps are or whatever, like a number of the games can be played and beaten using the same code put in, so that the stages are that similar.
I don't know if I buy it, because if you actually watch the video, it even says like in the description that no attempt was made to actually sync them up. So you're kind of like relying on the patterns you can match, and it's like, well, I guess that jump looked like another jump I saw 5 seconds ago on one of these four screens.
And
like a lot of the times, like the screens don't even load at the same time. So I'm not sure I buy it.
Is it like a Pink Floyd, you know,
yeah,
Dark Side of the Moon matched up with
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz type situation.
I think
where,
it's quite a bit like,
see,
that.
See, like, there's some money in this scene somewhere, and they're singing about money.
Well, they you know, they say what they did was they had, like, all four systems hooked up to, like, one controller, and they played it all at the same time. But, you know, if that were the case, you'd be able to prove it, you know, with an actual synced up video, but, you know, whatever.
It's still interesting. I like stuff like that. I love stuff like that.
I don't buy it, by the way.
Well, I think that's okay. But yeah, let us know what your games are. And really, some of these I think are going to be a story more so than just listing a title. So feel free to call in.
Yeah, the number for that is 608-492-1923. And you can also, as always, in the show notes, just leave a comment. People write pretty long comments, and we always read them. So, please, you know, as you hear, we've actually mentioned a whole bunch of the comments just in the show alone. So the chances that you'll be mentioned are pretty high, I would say. what else, of course, is always Twitter, Facebook, Famicom Dojo. We're releasing new videos every week for, you know, at least the rest of the summer, on YouTube at That's Orange. We're pretty busy.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, and there'll be more stuff coming up every week for the summer, pretty much.
Yeah. Yep, new podcast and new video. Wow, it's like a double helping of awesomeness or something.
And for some of our international listeners who don't really feel comfortable calling into calling a telephone number, or don't even have a telephone anymore because that's kind of old tech, you can feel free to leave a voicemail, as just record it as an MP3 or a WAV file or something. And where would they send that one to?
Oh boy.
Podcast at
Yeah, podcast at famicom.tv would work. I don't know what kind of size limits we have on the email inbox. So try and keep it under a minute, I think, is the safest.
Or just reduce the file. Try to keep it under 2 megs.
Yes.
That's the better way to do it.
Yes.
Because as you can probably tell from listening to it right now, audio fidelity is something we like but don't necessarily need.
Oh, self burn.
Yeah.
Right.
But, so I'm really looking forward to hearing what people have to say about that. Keep the comments coming in and keep watching Famicom Dojo the rest of the summer. It's going to be good.
Yeah, enjoy the onslaught, and next week we'll talk about the video that we released this week, which is confusing, but the way we have to do it given our recording schedule.
Yep.
So, all right. Until next time, the dojo is ongoing.
No. Views.
Views?
Not views. Zoom. I need to mention certain things every episode.
Right.
Zune?
That's like a baby's toy. And I'm done.
Back.
Famicom Dojo.